You'll be on Facebook. You'll be famous now. Hey, Roger, you missed out. All right. Well, this is our final night of our revival meeting. We've got Brother Kelly Henson back with us. Been blessed to have him in our home this week. He's been a blessing to us. Get to eat breakfast with him every morning. Lunch. Some days I hadn't been home from work every day for lunch. And
we still have lunch, brother.
Yeah, y'all have lunch without me, I know. One of the guys at work bought tacos today from Taco Bell. They wasn't as good as what my wife made the other night. kind of got a surprise for tomorrow. Justin Meyer, pastor at Mount Vernon, Grace Baptist Church in Mount Vernon, called me and asked if Bill Henson could fill in up there. One of their speakers is not going to be able to make it. Doug Newell IV called and canceled, I guess, today. And so he's going to preach up there tomorrow, Lord willing, if I can get him up there in time. go ahead.
Well, as our dear brother said, we are closing in on the last evening of our preaching here, I suppose. I think there will be preaching here. Somebody will be on the Lord's Day morning and the Lord's Day evening. I expect that to be Brother Steve. Unless Brother Doug shows up. Let me say what a joy it has been to me. My soul has been refreshed. I pray that the Lord has had some effect on you and me trying to preach about His servant. Not a greater subject that I know of in the entire Word of God to preach about. Amen. And hear about. Yeah. And so we come to the final verses of chapter 53. Hopefully, it's not the end of our study of Jehovah's servant. You know, in chapter 42 in verse 1, he said, "Behold my servant." And by that I mean, I think he is expecting us and desiring for us to keep doing that. You know, it's not just a one-time thing or a one-week thing to do, but just keep on beholding him. Because one of these days, Brother Doug, we're going to see him face to face. And then we'll want to behold him all the time. And hopefully we will. In verse 10, tonight, God says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied." Boy, I'm glad God was satisfied. "By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." He did a lot, didn't he? Yeah. He did a great deal. Yeah. I was reading, one guy said that the word bruise here should have been translated crushed. It pleased the Lord to crush him. No, I believe he was crushed. He was bruised, yes. But that's not enough of a word to describe to God's people how he was treated. In verse 9, it says, in the last phrase of verse 9, it says, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth, yet, in spite of this fact, it pleased the Lord to crush him. He was perfect. He had not sinned. And the only reason he was getting crushed was because of my sin and your sin that was transferred to his account and his righteousness to our account, that we might be justified. Neither was there any deceit in his mouth. And in spite of that, it pleased the Lord to brush him. Surely, he has borne our sorrows and carried our grief. Yeah. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. In Acts chapter 2, you know, we want to understand that this was not just something that the Jews concocted up with the help of the governor. And all his constituents. But the Word of God says that it wasn't an accident that he got crucified and beat up so severely. It wasn't something that Pilate dreamed up, or the chief priest and the Pharisees and the Sadducees dreamed up. But we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, 23, and 24. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Yeah. They were doing the bidding of God, God Almighty. And in chapter 4, verse 27. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now who was it that designed this? The Bible says it was God Almighty that designed it. He designed a way for us to be with him in glory. Yeah. There was no other way. Yeah. No other person that could do it. Yeah. None but His servant. His righteous servant. His holy servant. His powerful servant. His willing servant. Never forget that. He was a willing servant. He had His ear opened, according to the psalmist. Though all those wicked people were gathered together, God said, "You did it by wicked hands." They brought to pass what God had ordained with their wicked hands. It wasn't something that God just permitted to happen. I don't think that word permitted ever should be used when speaking about God doing things. I don't believe He permits stuff. I believe He causes things to happen. There's a lot of folks that disagree with me on that, but that's okay. They can apologize to me one of these days. It was worked out according to the good pleasure of His will. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. All things. Brethren, sisters, that includes everything. Whatever you think is wrong with you, whatever you do, you do it because He worked it in you to do it. If you repented, He worked it in you to repent. He gave it to you. He didn't permit it. He didn't permit you to repent. He made it happen. And it was righteous when He did it. Everything that He does is righteous. So God acts righteously and sovereignly in the same business that He has. Whatever it is, it's done righteously and sovereignly. Though sometimes it seems like it wouldn't be sovereign or wouldn't be righteous, the things that He does. But if God does it, it's righteous. It can't be anything else. He hath put Him to grief. God put Him to grief. But the wicked hands of men. Jesus was no stranger to grief and sorrow. He went with the two sisters at the grave of his brother. He dealt with grief in the Garden of Gethsemane as He prayed to His Father. In the mock trial, He dealt with grief. As He was beaten with men's fists and having His face slapped and His beard plucked from His face. And then taken and tied to that post and whipped severely. They plowed furrows upon His back, He said. And He took that willingly. And then took Him to Calvary. The place of the skull, Golgotha. He crucified. Grief and agony which cannot be described by the tongue of men or angels was His. You couldn't describe it. I couldn't describe it. His soul, His whole being was made an offering for sin. His whole being, not part of him, but his whole being. Ephesians chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Are you a dear child tonight? I hope you are. And walk in love. And here's this important part. As Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling favor. Yeah, a sweet smelling savor. I cannot imagine the sweetness of the savor of that sacrifice. Perhaps that's the reason that they burned so much incense in the temple and in the tabernacle, to have a sweet smelling savor in there with that. All of that, those dead animals that were being crucified, given to God in sacrifice. Smell like a slaughterhouse, maybe. But with that incense, it took on a different odor. And that ascended, in the smoke. Oh, it came from the incense. I've never burned any incense. I don't know what kind of odor it had. But I know what kind of odor he had when he was crucified. And his blood was poured out. It was not spilled, my beloved. Some songs talk about his blood being spilt on Calvary. It wasn't spilt. If you spill something, I spilled coffee on this brother's sister's couch by accident. I didn't do it on purpose. But to me, it was an accident. His blood wasn't spilled by accident. It was spilled on purpose. God had a purpose in the flowing of that precious blood that Peter talks about, that we're redeemed with, his precious blood. Verse 11, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. How wonderful. God the Father, Jehovah, shall see. His law shall be satisfied. His wrath will be satisfied. He shall be perfectly satisfied. There will not anything that happened that he wasn't satisfied with Christ, his servant. He had an obedient servant. He had a servant that loved him and was obedient to him. And a servant that he loved. He was satisfied. Men shall be justified. When God's satisfied, we're justified. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, Paul writes about our being freely justified by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. And we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Romans 3:28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Because of what Jesus did. Not because we all of a sudden got holier, where we could justify ourselves. No, never happened. we're justified. In chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Are we rejoicing tonight in the hope of the glory of God? Are we rejoicing tonight in the hope that we have of seeing Jesus Christ face to face? Oh, I hope so. Sometimes I'm not doing that, and it hurts me when I'm not. Lord, help me to be constantly joyful, rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. Yeah. Titus chapter 3 and verse 7. Titus chapter 3 and verse 7. That being just, well, let's back up. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, verse 5, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. There's our hope again showing up. Our hope of eternal life. Justified by his grace, justified by his blood, justified by faith, justified by works. Yeah. Works proves our justification. It doesn't make us justified. God already justified us. But our works prove that we are. Look at Brother James as he writes about it. Yeah, he tells you he's justified by works. Abraham was justified by believing. His believing was evidence that he was justified. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And then he talks about his rewards in glory at the Father's right hand. Therefore, since all of this other is true, he's done all the work that the Father told him, had given him to do. He did not leave one thing unturned, one thing, not one thing undone. Therefore, will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. Rewards bestowed upon his faithful servant because of what he'd done. I don't know what kind of rewards he will receive. But I long for the day when we'll see him face to face. And watch him and see the rewards that God put upon him. The crowns that God puts upon him. And we won't have to look through the veil darkly, brethren. We'll be able to see him and bow at his feet and worship and praise him for eternity. This won't be a one-night stand. Went one time to Bass Hall there in Fort Worth, because there was a big name bluegrass band there. And I'd never seen them before. And so I told my wife, I said, let's go down there and hear those guys play and sing.
It was worth the going. Blue Highway was there. That's another band. They just kind of introduced the. I told my wife, I said, boy, if these other guys can't beat that, they're going to be in bad shape. They got to be really good. It was that Blue Highway Bluegrass Band was wonderful. They sang some hymns. And then, Devil Corey and his boys come out there. And man, you're talking about making music. Them guys have got some talent. They've all won great awards in the bluegrass industry. I really enjoyed it. But I said all that to say this, that was a one-night stand. I never got to do that again. I didn't get to go with them and follow them around. Back a long time ago, I went and saw Merle Haggard. Boy, he was my country music hero for a long time. And then he died. One night stand. That was his life. His life was a life of one night stands. This won't be a one night stand, brethren. It's going to be forever and ever and ever. And we can see his rewards. And see him face to face. And fall at his feet and worship and praise him forevermore. Oh, how we need to be looking for that. We need to wake up every morning listening for that trumpet to sound. And I won't need these hearing aids either to hear that trumpet sound. What a day that'll be when our Jesus we shall see. Just to look upon his face, the one who saved us by his amazing, so wonderful grace. Grace, grace unto yet. Oh. But it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Yeah. We know his son loved him. What kind of reward will he receive? Yeah. Well, Isaiah 53. Outlined with three things. A holy servant. A holy sufferer. And a holy successful Savior. And it's full of it. All of those things. How he suffered. As a servant of Jehovah God. Yeah. Not as his son, yeah, but as a servant. Wow. Yeah. And I praise him tonight for being a successful Savior. Yeah. He's our rock. He's our friend. Do you realize tonight that you have a friend for a Savior? Yeah. A friend you can talk to and praise and love and worship, my friend. He's closer than a brother. Yeah, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Oh, it pleased the Lord to bruise him for me. I will never have to suffer for those sins I've committed. Yeah. and those I will commit because of Jesus Christ, my Savior, my substitute, my surety, my friend. All of those things together describe, and more things describe, our Lord Jesus Christ, the servant of God, the Son of God, and our Savior. Praise His name tonight. Oh, how wonderful. How marvelous is His love for you and I. God bless you. Thank you again for the privilege of speaking to you. I pray God will bless your soul, bless your heart, your mind, your feet, your hands, your eyes, and your ears. Every bit of you. Bless you. Oh, my God in heaven. Watch over you tonight and the rest of your life until you get called home. Yeah. And I know some of us are in a We kind of don't know what we want to do. Do we want to die and go home to be with Him, or do we want to stay here and serve Him as long as He wants us to? Yeah. Yeah. Paul was like that. Yeah. I'm ready when He's ready. And I'll preach as long as He gives me breath. Yeah. Try to preach at every opportunity. I'm working on a deal that when the flea market opens back up in the spring, I want to go down there and maybe see if I can get somebody's attention. Maybe preach to them 4 or 5 minutes. Borrow a microphone. They have some folks that have a music stand set up, and they play songs and stuff, and they have to take a break. And I'm going to try to catch them when they take a break. Maybe give them 20 to let me borrow the microphone where everybody there can hear me. I don't know if y'all have those kind of things here or not. But that's a new endeavor for me. I've been wanting to do it. I wanted to do it this year, but I didn't get to it. But anyway, I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here. I love every one of you. I mean, it was just love at first sight. And I pray you be blessed as we go tonight and receive those refreshments after we're dismissed here. For the pastor, thank you again for inviting me.